Welcome to The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Ready for the power play?
You're listening to The Hockey Show
on ESPN Chicago.
St. Patty's Day being celebrated in the great city of Chicago. The parade is wrapping up. And the river is green, and it's a good green. I think the last couple years they've knocked it out. It's that neon green.
It's a little much, a little like one of those Digger Phelps highlighter colors.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they've screwed. Some years it's like, you know, like a real dark and kind of dreary green.
This year was beautiful. It almost looks like it was polluted. This year it just looks beautiful.
Yes.
Do you know who? Because we don't have commercials today, we can talk about whatever we want. Do you know who Barry Butler is?
Not off the top of my head.
He's an Irish-born photographer who just specializes in Chicago photography.
Okay.
He is spectacular. So I think he's like Barry Butler 9. Big Blackhawks fan, too.
Okay.
Barry Butler 9 on or something like that on Instagram. I'd say he's in his 50s or 60s, and he's the best. I love the guy. And he always has like the best pictures of Chicago on St. Patrick's Day with the river and the scenes, the people in green. It's always been great. So we got people walking by waving, so it's been good.
So you were already at the bar. You've been on the clock bar stool wise.
Yes. So
what was your encounter this morning?
It was tough. So we had
tough folks.
You know, and it was like
not digging ditches over here, kids.
Well, right. It could be, I feel, and we were talking about this before, like, this is probably the first real full-blown St. Patrick's Day since before COVID.
Yes.
And I think in that time, I just aged out of St. Patrick's Day. I think that's what happened. And, you know, I'm Irish. My mother's maiden name is McDonald. We take a lot of pride. She used to dye the milk green in the morning when we were kids. And so we get very, I've always been very into my Irish heritage and St. Patrick's Day, but when I live sort of in that area, so I walk to the first location. When you see Clark Street in the distance, and you're like, oh boy, this is each side of the street, 7-8 people deep, and I feel like every single bar had a line that was legitimately 50 to 100 yards long.
And what time was this at that you were?
I was venturing over there at like 10:50. My first location I had to be at was at 11, and then we, you know, exited, and it was just, you know, and the first bar was at Old Crow, and I gotta say, like, those, the managers there, they're spectacular. They do a great job, and they ushered us right in, and then we went over to Country Club, and people were having a great time. They were really enjoying St. Patrick's Day, and I was like, it was more of like an exercise and people watching for me. Like, it was I like to watch people having fun, even if I don't want to participate necessarily the way that they are. But it was great. It was, you know, people are festive. I'm glad people are back out and about for St. Patrick's Day having fun.
All right. So last Saturday, right before we went on the air, Emily Kaplan had her report. And basically she said that Patrick wasn't dying to get out of Chicago. And then when it became apparent that the Blackhawks weren't going to re-sign him this summer, it was at that point that he figured he would pull the trigger and go to the New York Rangers.
Correct.
And do you believe that that report is accurate?
Yeah. I've dug around. I've talked to people in his camp and you know, former teammates, friends, all this kind of thing. I don't have a relationship with him specifically, but yeah, it sounds like, you know, he understands, he sees the writing on the wall with what they're trying to do, as we talked about last week, and it was important to him to be here. But it's like, well, if I cannot be here long term because the organization will not let me, well, then I might as well have fun for a couple months with Panarin. So that's when he agreed to waive his no trade clause, and that was when he, you know, sat out the practice and flew home from San Jose and that whole charade. So
the every shift is the Hard Knocks show that the Blackhawks have been doing this year, and it's kind of a behind the scenes look at Luke Richardson, how some of the chatter is in the locker room. And the last episode was solely devoted to trade deadline, and a bulk of it was Patty Kane.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like that access. You didn't buy. I don't. What I love that kind of stuff.
I'm very big on authenticity. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of having access like that if it's authentic, which I also feel like this is a very sensitive situation with the greatest player in the history of the franchise. Mm-hmm. I feel like you probably should have made sure that he was okay with it and wasn't surprised coming down in the morning.
In San Jose in the hotel,
6:30 in the morning to see cameras in his face. Like, I don't think that should have been like, hey, but it should have been like, hey, we want to do this. And it should have been his, like everything else. If you're saying you're doing him a solid, make sure it's a solid all the way through. And don't, this is the part where it's like, it felt like a PR stunt to me to make themselves, me and the organization, look like the good guys. When in reality, the only good thing that they did was allow him to go to the Rangers instead of, you know, dragging their feet. And what about, you know, what about Dallas? What about this? And trying to, it was like, we'll trade you where you want to go, but, and take what we can get, but you're not really welcome back here next year. And that to me.
But do you know for a fact that what was said to him?
That's basically the Emily Kaplan report. And that's what, and the whole thing has been dragged out forever. You could have, if you wanted him here, it sounds like all indications are that he would be here. And the organization, for whatever reason, is ready to turn the page. And it just kind of smacks of, you know, I have PTSD from this organization in the 90s. And, mm-hmm. you know, and we went through the Edzo thing and everything else. And it just feels like there's a disconnect and then there's a cover up. And that was my whole point. Like, I've written about this. We talked about it last week. If Kyle Davidson, and to me it should be Kyle Davidson and Kyle Davidson alone, decides that it is in the best interest of the organization to move on from Patrick Kane, then I think that he should explain that publicly. And we haven't gotten that. And to me, if you look at the cap situation, how he is as a person, how he is as a teammate, how he still is as a player on the ice, he still checks all the boxes, and he's not going to mess up your rebuild or your tank because you've seen it. Like, they've been bad for a long time now with him being a good and productive player. So it, from a hockey perspective, it doesn't make sense to me. So that, to me,
well, let me jump in on the hockey stuff, okay? Just so we're, you know, trying to be transparent here and look at all angles. Mm-hmm. If they do indeed land the number one overall pick, Connor Bedard, or the second overall pick,
yep,
which we would presume is Adam Fantilli, although I did see Michkov on somebody's list jumped to two this
Michkov
week.
Michkov might be the second best guy, but there's too many factors
tied to him.
Yeah.
So if they do land the top overall pick and mm-hmm. have a shot, and they would presumably take Connor Bedard, how do you think that this team would market that next year if Patrick Kane was still in the mix? Would they put out on billboards across the city Bedard and Kane and a passing of the torch, or would it be Bedard only? Because from my standpoint, they would want to market Connor Bedard by himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can have multiple strategies to how you're going to put on billboards and sell tickets. I don't think that's getting Bedard doesn't preclude them from relying on Patrick Kane from a marketing standpoint too. They've always done multiple things, as we've seen. They're doing this. What is their slogan this year? Ready to work.
Ready
or
to
something
work,
like
yeah.
that. Call it go to school next year. And Patrick Kane's at the front of the classroom, and Bedard's sitting in the front. You know, like, that's cheesy. I'm just making things up. But you could. But that, to me, it feels like that's more like the answer. Let's have a different marketing strategy. Let's have a different identity, as opposed to we're trying to build a successful operation on the ice. Like, everybody, it just reminds me of the old regime where everybody wants the credit and everybody wants to put their stamp on things. And that's like another thing. Again, like, this is very speculative, so I don't know. But everything I've been told about Davidson is that he has no ego. No ego. You know, when he's starts as an intern, comes up through the ranks. Hey, like, I don't really know much about scouting. This is early in his career. Let me go to these Massachusetts high school games with you. Let me go up to Ontario with you and shadow.
When he was first being mentioned for the job and was in an interim role, mm-hmm. I went to somebody who's in the know and I said, tell me about him. And then he says, He knows what he knows, and what he doesn't, he's not afraid to ask. And I loved that description, and everything I have seen over the last year plus has echoed those sentiments.
Correct. I would agree. So again, it's same similar situation. Like I asked very similar questions, and that's the thing where he's willing to put the work in. He doesn't try to, you know. And what was his first move? He hired Norm.
Oh yeah, Norm. You know? Yep.
So he hired Norm because he's like, you know, and he has the utmost respect for Norm, and everyone else I talked to does as well. That Norm's got like a photographic memory for hockey, and he's very insightful. And
brought Brian Campbell as his right hand man.
Yep. So he's Megan Hunter. Like he's got a good team. And I think Greenberg, I don't know exactly how instrumental he is. I don't know if they're still building that out, but I think it's important.
Certainly instrumental in building the analytics department. Yes. And getting.
And he was in the room in San Jose when all that was going on. So my only point is.
And he was a finalist for the job.
Correct.
Which shows me that he is egoless, because if I was in competition with candidate B and candidate B doesn't get the job, I know. Mm-hmm. I can see where you're going here. I can see the chief wheels.
What do you think I'm thinking?
I'm thinking that maybe you're gonna say Jeff Greenberg was forced upon him.
I think that that's possible. We'll say that. I think that that's possible that that wasn't. But again, and maybe it wasn't. Maybe Davidson sees the value because you need an analytics department.
Look, I've talked to Kyle about that exact topic. Mm-hmm. And he says that it happened organically. Reached out after, gave him congratulations, Greenberg did, and they got to talking. And do I think there's some people in the building that were like, yeah, probably should talk to him or something like mm-hmm. that? Yeah, I don't think that that is the case, that there's people that, I mean, there's a connection. He works for the Cubs. You know, Jamie Faulkner's husband is Colin Faulkner, mm-hmm. who's, you know, the guru marketing over there on the north side. So, you know, there are some obvious connections you can draw.
Yeah.
But this, you know, the reason why he was a candidate was because the NHL is so far behind in the times, and they really liked what MLB has been doing. And I think Kyle looked at an opportunity that, okay, no, I can bolster this area of our team. And, oh, by the way, he's got a bit of a hockey background, played the sport. Dad was a part owner in Pittsburgh, on and on and on.
Yeah, I mean, Greenberg sounds like a terrific guy to have in your analytics department. I'm not trying to disparage anything. I just don't know what his contributions are on a day-to-day basis. So I can't speak to that, but I am in favor of analytics, and the NHL is behind baseball and probably the other sports as well. But I think that's a function of it's harder. It's so much harder to get predictive analytics where you could say if player X does this thing, that's going to lead to more chances and more goals, because it's so fluid and you're judging, you know, it's in constant motion, where baseball really is static. It's pitcher versus batter, where the defense is lined up. You can chart it much more easily than you can hockey. So I think it's I think anybody who's venturing into that area has their work cut out for him, and I hope that he cracks a code, because I really. And I know there's a lot of proprietary data. I haven't seen any analytics, and I know people who work for analytics companies out of Montreal and other places, where it's like they're very good, but it's hard to say that that is a predictive model, the way that, hey, if you get on base X amount of times, that's gonna lead to this many runs. There isn't that like-for-like situation with hockey analytics, at least to my knowledge now, that there was from baseball with Moneyball and everything that's progressed since, you know, the early 2000s.
So this is the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We are presented by the Chicago Wolves, the defending Calder Cup champions. Tonight, the Wolves will take on the Rockford Ice Hogs as the rivalry continues. Wolves have been one of the AHL's hottest teams over the last month. So tonight at 7 o'clock, Allstate Arena for tickets. Go to ChicagoWolves.com. Let's go behind the scenes here. Kendra Smith is our producer. We took over for... It was
Peggy and Dion,
right? Yeah. They were just finishing up their show. We walked in. Kendra, what's going on? So where are we at?
We're ready to go to break. Let's go to break.
We're ready to go to break?
Kendra, okay. Kendra, fix it.
All right, Kendra, fix it.
All credit goes to Charlie.
All right, and way Charlie. To go, Charlie Bevins. And so we are, we're going to take a break right now. Great. We're going to regroup, take a 20, maybe a full timeout, and we'll come back. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
Welcome to The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Ready for the power play?
You're listening to The Hockey Show
on ESPN Chicago.
All right, we are on, we are up, we are rolling on.
We got technology.
We got. We took over for Peggy and Dion at the top of the hour, and it was an interesting transition. So we got the open, everything's ready to go. With Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. It's St. Patrick's Day, wrapping up the parade here in downtown Chicago. The river's dyed green. Everybody's. What do you think the blood alcohol level right now is for the city of Chicago?
Dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But good for the bars making money. Happy for them, no, for all the bars.
Especially with how tough it's been sledding over the last couple of years. So we were talking about that report last week that Emily Kaplan delivered right before we went on the air. And we're also talking about every shift, the behind the scenes, I'll say Hard Knocks-esque type show that the Blackhawks have been putting out on their app and on their YouTube page. And here is the scene of Patrick Kane a week ago today leaving the team and San Jose at like 6:30 in the morning. This is him making his way to leave the team and wait for the Rangers to become cap compliant and for this deal to be finalized. Here is from every shift. This is what Kane said a week ago.
Excited about what could possibly be happening, and you know, I think obviously it was you know, emotional decision that took a little bit of time, but yeah, hopefully everything goes smoothly and get ready for another life experience here.
You ever think you'd be at this point?
Probably not. I think you know, you always think you're going to be a Blackhawk, and I think it could be a Blackhawk for life, but, you know, I think, you know, I'm smarter than that, and know that every player doesn't finish a career with one team, so, you know, excited for the next chapter for sure.
That was Patrick Kane a week ago talking to the Blackhawks TV cameras behind the scenes. When you hear that, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's, now granted, 6:30 in the morning, maybe he's a little groggy. It doesn't sound like he's thrilled or, you know.
Well, it was emotional. I mean, I think a very difficult decision.
And I think it's, you know, I think we'll have more stuff come out about this eventually. But it does feel like a high road situation. He's saying all the right things. And it's like you don't want to, you know, come off to your next teammates that you're there reluctantly and things like that. But it is, you know, that conversation where it's like, you know, I thought I'd be a Blackhawk forever, all that. I think he probably thought that up until like maybe 3-4 weeks ago, that he was like, you know, waiting, like, what's, you know, he had, you know, all the decisions, I haven't decided, all that kind of
stuff.
So
as I pieced together the last couple of months, and, you know, I've had sit down interviews with him and casual conversations with people in his circle, I think he wanted to feel some love from the team on the way out.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway from my sit down with him in January. And I think he kind of phrased it like, you know, Johnny and I will sit down and find out kind of where we are at with them.
Yeah.
I don't think the team got into much dialogue about the future. I think they were all in the what is going to happen here at the trade deadline, and it's going to be on those two players' terms whether or not they are moved.
But the future, the vision of the future, which is Kyle has to be, and his team have to be thinking about that every single day.
Sure.
You know when their contracts are up. Like, you and Kane, if Kane's sitting around waiting, like, where's my, you know, what's going on? Like, I want to be here, and he can't, seemingly doesn't sound like he can get a straight answer about where he stands with the organization after 16 years as a guy who does everything right and he's still a very good player. That, to me, is, that's like unconscionable. Like, and you look around the league at his contemporaries. Crosby didn't have to leave. Malkin didn't have to leave. Bergeron still in Boston. We saw Jonathan Quick get traded, but he doesn't really check that box of being a good player anymore. Kopitar and Doughty are still there. Ovechkin's still there. You know, they all those guys went through various rebuilds and or didn't really dip as hard as the Blackhawks, but they all went through it, and they're all going to finish their careers where they should. And I mean, David Krejci went to Czech Republic and came back to the Bruins. Yeah. You know, and it's like, so it's if Kane should, if he wanted a contract, he deserved it. And by every standard, and that's the part where, and then they try to make it seem like they're doing him a service. I just
don't know if he truly. I mean, I think he was still sorting things out. I really do. I think
that doesn't sound like it to me.
Then let's listen to now. This is the soundbite from every shift when Kyle, a couple days later on Tuesday of that week, and again, I'm. It's two Saturdays mm-hmm. that we're talking about yep. here, not last Saturday. My bad on
last
that.
Last Saturday is when the episode dropped.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah. And this is the conversation that Kyle had when he called Patrick Kane to tell him that the deal had been finalized. And listen to some of the words that Kane uses to basically thank the way Kyle and his group handled this trade. This is Kane and Kyle Davidson from every shift.
Hey, Patrick, how's it going?
Hey, Kyle, what's going on?
Not much. So I think we're at the end of the road here with everything. I know it's been a long emotional time, but we're just kind of in the process of going through things with the league to make you New York Rangers. So just okay. wanted to, you know, obviously follow up on our couple conversations along the way, but on our conversation in San Jose where, you know, just want to thank you for everything. You know, you've done so much for the organization and fans, and you know, want to wish you, Amanda, you know, Patrick III, just all the best, and just remember that, you know, whatever jersey you're wearing, you're always part of the Blackhawks family. So, thanks again for everything, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and you know, obviously, I'm very grateful of everything you know, you guys did during this whole process, and just how you went about it. It was very classy, so definitely appreciate that. And yeah, it's crazy. It was definitely emotional, you know, when it starts to set in and get real. But you know, just excited for a different challenge, different opportunity, get out of the comfort zone a little bit, and yeah, hopefully it goes well. But thank you for everything. I think it was unreal the way you and everyone handled everything. So I'll always appreciate that.
Yeah, no, you you deserve that, and we we'll be cheering for you. We'll be watching, and you know, all the best at MSG. We're excited to watch you.
All right, Kyle. Thanks, bud.
Thanks. Bye, Kaner.
So when you hear Kane and some of the things he said about being grateful and saying that how Davidson and the Hawks handled things classy, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I would
Patrick's
like
Patrick's not an actor, right?
No, but I would like to know what the this was a follow-up conversation,
right?
I'd like to know how what the tone and the conversation was of the previous ones that he's following up on, and how this went along the way, and when they told him, and what, you know, what their plans were for him, or what, and what exactly led to the situation. To me, there's still a lot of questions. And I'm not really satisfied with that clip. And I think Davidson probably did handle it in a respectful, classy manner.
You basically think that Kane should have had a lifetime contract?
No.
And okay, so
no, a lifetime that implies that if he's 45,
well,
he can't move.
I mean, what did you think was going to happen this year? You thought he was going to get some sort of an extension, or talk behind the scenes that, hey, you know, this rebuild's going on. We're not going to really be good for two or three more mm-hmm. years.
I think it sounds like, look, Kane's done a ton of winning. He's got every accolade, but everything I've always been told is that he cares about his legacy and those records and the games played and the Chase and Makita and all that, and that he would have been on board to stay on another bad team next year, and then, you know, who knows what they do in this draft. But then in 2024-25, you would think that Nazar is coming at that point, maybe a couple other pieces, that the team, maybe they're not good per se, but they should be young, fun, and exciting in 2024-25. And that's not that far away. So if you give him if you offer him a 3-year extension, and there's nothing financially that would prevent it. There's nothing in his game or personality. There's no like barrier other than that, unless I'm missing something, that why you wouldn't want him back.
Well, yeah. I mean, we talked about this last week. I don't think you can extend one and not extend the other.
Why is that, though, Pat?
Because I think they're tied at the hip, for lack of a better word. But they're not.
Everybody has to be judged on their own merit.
Absolutely.
And I love Jonathan Toews. But I think, you know, you can look at his game and kind of his last several years and the question marks about his health and you know, some other things where it's like, you know, I don't know if he's got another positive year, or if he is a positive contributor to a rebuild and a mentor role the way that Kane has already proven that he does.
Yeah, there's no way I could see the Blackhawks sitting down at a podium and saying on this day in season or even last summer, mm-hmm. hey, we have extended Patrick Kane for X number of years. And the follow up is, where is Jonathan Toews' extension? We are not giving him one. There's just no way that would ever be done. But then
you're making a decision that actively makes your team worse and makes the rebuild harder and makes it harder to do it. Like,
unless they have reasons that they think, you know, starting anew and having.
Then say that and explain it.
Well, then maybe it's their actions that you evaluate versus how they go about packaging it for everybody.
Whose actions? I'm sorry. The organization.
Kyle's and hockey ops.
Yeah, and we'll see. But it's, I just don't see how you're better off. And like, I've seen
this. You're not better off right now today without Patrick Kane or next year. But if Connor Bedard comes mm-hmm. in here and he's paired on the same line with Patrick Kane, I know he's going to defer to Patrick Kane at least for part of it. Now, he did look off
McDavid. Yeah, in a camp. But that's the other thing, too, where it's like, I really reject that whole idea. Because
we've seen it. Every guy does it.
But it takes time to
have you been listening to what Gerard Gallant has been saying the past week mm-hmm. plus?
Yep.
It's like, we got to stop passing. I don't want to break these guys up, but all they do is pass. I may have to do that.
But you also, you have to give guys an adjustment period.
Sure.
And we saw that with DeBrincat. We saw that with all these different players. Like, it's, you have to have guys that want the puck, and Kane wants the puck. And if you talk to Dylan Strome, you talk to DeBrincat, you talk to these different guys, of course there's an adjustment period. But it's, if you can't play with other good players, or you're timid with the puck, or you don't believe in yourself, or you're,
it's never going to work.
It's never going to work. So I just reject that, because I don't, and I've seen people saying that, like, oh, it's bad for Reichel's development if Kane's there. That is a load of baloney. And I wish I could say other words, but that's what that is. Because if you can't learn from Patrick Kane and how to play with other great players, then you're never going to be a top reliable guy that's going to drive a team towards playoff success.
Andrew Shaw is going to join us next. He was like a little brother to Patrick Kane. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's transpired here in Chicago in the last couple of weeks when the Hockey Show continues on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show. Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're presented by the Chicago Wolves, the defending Calder Cup champs, with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. It is our pleasure to welcome in 2-time Stanley Cup champion. Will never have to pay for a beer in this city. He's the one and only Andrew Shaw. How you doing today, Shawzy?
I'm doing all right. I missed that voice, Pat. It's been a while.
You know, it's the St. Patrick's Day parade. They dyed the river green today. This is a day that a young Andrew Shaw making his way around town, this would make you miss being in Chicago back in the day.
Do you like a couple pints on St. Patty's Day, Andrew?
I do. I mean, who wouldn't? Especially when you're in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
The city is alive. It's they kind of pull you into it, even if you don't want to.
So we've been talking a lot prior to the trade deadline and certainly after it about Patrick Kane's departure. When you found out he was going to the New York Rangers, you have a special relationship with him. You're almost like a little brother to him. What was your reaction when you heard he was leaving the Hawks?
I was happy for him. I mean, obviously it's a place he could see himself playing, and it gives him an opportunity to play with, you know, some high-end talent and another shot at winning another Stanley Cup. So I was happy for him that he went. Obviously, it's sad, but that's the business of hockey is, you know, sometimes things change, go different, you know, paths. And I think it's going to be exciting to watch Patrick Kane in playoffs with a good team again.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. There's been a lot of discussion. We actually just talked about it in the last segment about how difficult it can be for guys to play with Patrick Kane. Now, I remember that line, the shaved, you know, sideburns, the hustle and flow line. You saw it and Kane. Did you experience that where you're like, I just got to give him the puck at all costs? Or and what do you make of that line of thinking that it's bad for young guys to have to play on a line with Patrick Kane for their development?
Well, I think they got to play their own way, but to play with Kaner's very special. I enjoyed it. I knew I was going to get shit from him from time to time. You know, passes there I don't make. It's my skill level wasn't to his, you know, to his skill level. So he would give it to me from time to time, but it was all in brotherly love. You know, I knew I needed to be better, and that was just how competitive. That's why he's had so much success. He's won so much is because how he can push himself, what he expects from himself, and he expects the best out of his teammates every night. And it's a pleasure. It was a pleasure to play with him. Obviously, you know, you get a lot of backdoor tap-ins and easy points when you get to play with Patrick Kane.
I also feel like you're a guy who that kind of stuff where he's giving you a hard time probably just rolls off you because that's your personality.
Yeah, it never bothered me. I went from getting yelled at from my dad as a kid, the coach you yelling at me, to my wife yelling at me. You know, so I'm quite used to it.
Have you been watching much of this Blackhawks team? I know we saw Patrick Kane get his first goal and assist as a Ranger against one of your former teams, Montreal, the other night. But have you got to see much of this season's Blackhawks team?
To be honest, probably watched half a dozen to a dozen games. I live in a different life these days. You know, I'm out of the hockey world, so I got kids waking me up early. So I like to go to bed early. I don't watch too much hockey, but when I tune in, it's nice to, you know, brings back good memories, obviously. It was the best 10 years of my life, so.
What was it like coming back? Like, how different was the environment, the culture, any of that? Because, you know, there has been a lot of speculation. I think that the Kane coming back, that talk is kind of dead. How was that experience for you when you go to Montreal and then come back? And did you feel like you were in a different place, or was it home sweet home?
I thought it was a different place. You know, I just knew it was just new everything, new coaching staff, a bunch of new players that I wasn't, you know, with my previous stint with the Hawks. So the culture was kind of, you know, falling apart. I think just you can only be so good at top for so long, and then, you know, things start to change. Players move on, and same with coaching staff. They move on too, and it just kind of changed the dynamic of the locker room.
Andrew, last one for me. You know, obviously Johnny Toews has been through a lot the last few years, missing a full season a couple years ago, and now he's dealing with the long COVID and chronic immune response syndrome. What's it like for a player, because you experienced it, listening to your body versus trying, and you know you've got more hockey left in you, but your body is saying otherwise. What is that dynamic like? How hard is that to kind of cope with when you're in the back nine of your career?
Obviously, it's tough. Obviously, you're playing a sport. It's a privilege to, you know, be playing in the NHL and living out your childhood dream. So when it comes to an end because of your body, it hurts. You always want to leave the game on your own terms, but that never happens a lot of time. Usually you play long enough that your body's, you know, wearing down and telling you different things. But all you can hope for is health, you know, good health. And, you know, if you have to move on, if you want to stay in the game, find another part of the game you love. And but the locker room is probably the hardest thing you could probably find outside of the hockey life. It's one of a kind.
Well, I think you're one of a kind, too. And they're going through this rebuild, and every team needs an Andrew Shaw, but there's only one of you. So I loved watching you play, so I hope you're doing well post-hockey back up in Canada.
Thank God there's only one of me. I don't know if the world can
do. What are you smoking on the grill these days? I know you've during COVID you kind of took things over as being a so-called chef for the kids. How are you?
A Traeger guy, Shawzy?
Yeah, I am a Traeger guy.
Oh yeah, me too.
These are spoiled rotten. I never got to eat this good growing up. Everything, you know, pork, steaks, chicken. You know, sometimes vegetables, rarely, but you know.
Well, Shaws, we appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday to join us. I know you were shuttling kids around a birthday party. We appreciate you jumping on.
Hey, anything for you, PB.
Thanks, Shawzy. Sounds like they're calling for you right now. That's Andrew Shaw on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. We're back to wrap up the hockey show after this.
All right, thanks, guys.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Back on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're sponsored by the Chicago Wolves. They're taking on Rockford tonight, 7 o'clock, Allstate Arena, ChicagoWolves.com for tickets. Thanks to Kendra Smith and Charlie Bevins, who got us on the air. It was like a line change between Peggy and Dion and The Hockey Show.
On the fly.
Thank you for calling in 312-332-3776 and watching us on Twitch. Of course, you can catch the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. You had a great Chief Athetical.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, Chief Athetical. So obviously the Bears made the home run trade yesterday. I love that trade. They got a treasure trove for the number one pick. Should the Blackhawks get the number one pick? I want to see if I can convince you to pass on Berdard and take this trade package.
So you've got less than 2 minutes to do it.
Hawks get the number one pick. Montreal has the number two pick. They also own Florida's pick, which is looking like it's going to be in the top 15. So let's just call it the 12th pick. Would you move down one spot, get 2, 13, and then another future first in order to get and you take Fantilli, and then I would say it would probably be the guy that they like is Oliver Moore, who sounds like a lot like Frankie Nazar. Super fast, probably the fastest guy in the draft. Ton of skill, plays in national development team. So you'll get, theoretically, a bona fide number one center, that's the one possible thing you don't have with Bedard at this point. It's not a certainty that he's a number one center. He'll score a ton of goals. He's probably going to be a wing. And then you get a top six type wing. So you had two top six players. One of them is a 6'3" superstar center, but you don't have Bedard. Is that enough? Plus another future one.
Yeah, so I'm not so worried about the future one because I'm already loaded with ones. I've got two this year, two next year, two the following year. I've got four second-round picks this year. Mm-hmm. I guess it's how big is the gap from my scouting department between Bedard and Fantilli?
Right.
And, I mean, we know what Fantilli brings to the table, more mm-hmm. size. Obviously, that's the question on Bedard.
Yeah, more size, but he is very fast. I do think that Fantilli, 9 times out of 10, is probably the number one pick in the draft. It's just he's in the draft with Connor Bedard. So it's you're getting a typical number one type of player. It's not a Nolan Patrick situation. You're getting a stud. But it's a dice roll.
Yeah, for me, I'm not overthinking this. I think he's that good. I think he's been that good at every level, better than everybody he's on the ice with, and at times he's been a year or 2 years younger than everybody.
Totally.
So I can't pass on that.
And that's fine, because if you trade Connor Bedard, you open yourself up to get fired. Okay? Like you'll never get fired for drafting Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
I love Fantilli, as we've talked about. So if I could get two,
I don't think Fantilli could be Trubisky. But
no.
I definitely think Bedard can be Mahomes.
And that's a fair analogy. It was one hypothetical that I thought, like, that's interesting because you get a true number one center. And you need those to win.
Well, let's kick this idea around because we've got, you know, we've got weeks before
yeah.
before the lottery takes place. That'll be in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Coming up next, it's White Sox Weekly. Later tonight, the ACC Championship game at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. For Barstool Chief, I'm Pat Boyle. Thank you for listening to The Hockey Show, and we'll catch you next time. Hawks in action tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Pregame show, 5:30, NBC Sports Chicago.